All right. So we left off in the middle of, we're on Hey, I'm a Bass. We left off in the middle of these stories of people who went to others to when they were sick, and they were asked if they like their pains or if they want out. And they, so far, everyone said they want out.
What a flush.
Everyone said they want out. We're up to Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer Chalash, when Rebbe Eliezer got sick, Ol Gabi Rabbi Yochanan, he also went up to Rabbi Yochanan. Sorry? He went up to Rabbi Yochanan. Chazed Dehavi Kagani Bebeis Afel. He realized that Rabbi Yochanan was living in like a dark room. He was sleeping in like this dark place. He couldn't see what was going on. But Rabbi Yochanan then realized that, oh, I have a guest and the lights are all off. So, you know, what's a good quick nightlight? Mm-hmm. So, Galie Lidare, V'nafal Nehura. So he uncovered his arm, which exposed a light. What light exactly was this? So Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, I'll just read your matches. Rabbi Yochanan, we see elsewhere, had this like extreme beauty. So Rashi says, Shehaya Bisaro Mavhik, Shiyafa Hayimod. His skin was extremely shiny because he was very beautiful. Because I remember Bava Metzia, like we explained Bava Metzia. So apparently he had some. Some glow
in the dark.
There's some glow. Yeah, there's some glow. I don't know if this is radioactive or.
We know Moshe Rabbeinu did that all the time.
Right. So there you go. Rabbi Yochanan had a minor case of Moshe Rabbeinu's glowing. Right. Right. But enough to light up the room.
The one that the girls would stand waiting for.
Exactly. Yeah, within the eye, and he had the eyelashes, yeah. Right? That he made, he couldn't see them, but they could see him, right? Yeah. Okay, so this is Rabbi Yochanan. So at that point, when the room lit up a little bit, Rabbi Yochanan realized Chazi Davi Kabachi Rebbe Eliezer. He saw that Rebbe Eliezer was crying here. We're on 5b, like halfway down the page.
Is this the famous one where he says that I'm weeping because someone as beautiful as you is going to die?
Yes, this is, you've heard this one before. Don't spoil the ending. This is it, right? So he saw that Rebbe Eliezer was crying. Amar Leah, Maika Bachas, what are you crying about, Rebbe Eliezer? You know, he realized he was sick, but you know what exactly you're crying about? So he gives a few options of what he's crying about, and for each of them, he says this isn't a good reason to cry. He says, what are you crying for? If it's because there's some Torah learning that you are not able to grasp, right? You can't wrap your head around. So, no big deal. Shanina, we already learned. Whether you learn a lot, you understand a lot, whether you understand a little, no biggie. As long as your learning has intent to connect to Hashem through your learning, no biggie whether you understand everything or not. So don't be crying about that. If you don't have enough food, meaning your physical income isn't high enough, right? You need more physical needs taken care of. So, you know, don't be so worried about being rich. Not every person is zoicha, is merits to have two tables, meaning the table of Torah and the table of cash. Right? Tosva says that there was a different girsa here. Some people had the girsa. There's a person, a person is not meritorious to have two tables. But Tosa says that's incorrect, and we should go with ours, because he says we find plenty of examples of people that are meritorious to have both tables. Some people are lucky, they get both Torah and they get money. But don't bank on it, he's saying. Don't cry about that. Not everyone's zeichet to have two tables. V'im yishum bana, if it's because of children, right? Maybe you can't have any kids. So, you know, Din Garma Dasi Rabia. We already mentioned Rabbi Yochanan's got this bone ready for these types of cases, right? Look, here's the bone of my 10th kid, so don't be so sad about your situation. Yeah. Whatever your situation is, it's not so bad.
The room is still this kid, right?
That's the same Rabbi Yochanan, beautiful Yochanan, had all his kids murdered?
Yes.
That's horrible.
Yes. Amar Leh, it is horrible. Whoever it would have been horrible, but yes, particularly horrible. Amar Leh, he says, actually, that's none of the above. Option D, right? Option D is what I'm crying about. Lahai Shufra de Bali Bafra, that this beauty that I'm witnessing right now, this amazing beauty, is eventually going to be covered in dirt, meaning you're going to eventually leave and die. Kabachina, that's what I'm crying about. Amar Leh, Rabbi Yochanan said, actually, that's actually a good reason. Al Da Vada Kabachina, right? That you actually really should be crying about. Ubachu Travayu, and they both were crying together.
What?
Dehaki Vahaki, in the meanwhile, while they were sitting there crying together, Amr Leh, Rabbi Yochanan said, Chavivin Alechi Yisurin, are these pains you have precious to you? You want to keep the sickness you have? Amr Leh, Lohen Velo Scharin. Nope, not them, not their reward. Amr Leh, Havli Yadcha, give me your hand. Yad Leh Yad Evoke me, and he restored him back to his position. The commentaries have a little bit of a. I read quickly, but what exactly is going on over here? Why is that the issue that they're both crying miserably over? Is Rabbi Yochanan's beauty is going to be no longer? So the idea here that I found, I think it was in the Marsha, I forget exactly where I saw this, but the idea is that Rabbi Yochanan's beauty is a remnant from the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, we had this this beauty translated into physical form in a more real way that was tangible for people to understand. And it signified the level of holiness that the Jewish people were able to attain as a result of the Beis HaMikdash. So this was the last lingering light of this physical manifestation of the experience that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. And he said that this last beauty that we have as a reminder of what the Beis HaMikdash was like, you were around then, that's going to be gone, and that's going to be a big dimness to the light in the world, and that's what they were both crying. So it's really they're both crying over the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which is represented through Rabbi Yochanan's beauty in this case.
I heard the same thing with music. When you hear a song which is unbelievably non-Jewish, and how could something be so beautiful? The remnants of the music, the Beis HaMikdash are in the world and in the wrong place.
There's different takes on this music story and what to do with non-Jewish music, but I read from Rabbi Ovadia. Now, Rabbi Ovadia used to be, when he used to sit in the Beis Medrash when he was young, he used to sing, he had a beautiful voice, he used to sing the tunes of like all the Arab music that he grew up with while he was, he used to hum it in like a beautiful melody while he was in his learning. Right, and I think he was asked, why are you putting in this mundane, non-holy music into learning? And he was like, every music is a spark of the neshama that went into it. It just needs to be translated into a more complete, perfect, spiritual position. But there is something about all. So there's different positions to this. But there's also Gemaras that say not to get into the pop music. So you have some fine line here in the middle of where it's appropriate and where it's not.
Acher always.
Right, that was one of the stories there in Chagiga, that's right. So there's some fine line, you have to know exactly what the right to balance is, but Rav Huna, moving on. Now, Rav Huna takifu le arba meya dani dechamra. Rav Huna, I guess he was some sort of a wine merchant, or he had a ton of wine barrels. He had these 400 barrels of wine that spoiled on him. This was a Yisurin. Oh, what's Hashem doing to me here, right? My 400 barrels of wine are spoiling. This is a huge loss. So, Ol Gabe. So, the following people went up to go visit him after this. Rav Yehuda, Achva de Rav Salah Chasida, Rav Yehuda, the brother of Rav Salah Chasida, the Rabbanin and the rabbis who accompanied him, right? I guess he was heading the campaign here of rabbis who are going to go up to Rav Huna. Vamilan, some people say it was actually Rav Adda bar Ava, the Rabbanin. It was Rav Adda, the son of Ava, and the Rabbanin. Vamrulay, and they said to him, Lion Mar Bemilay, they were coming to give him a little rebuke. Now you got 400 barrels. That's what. Have you investigated your deeds? Remember, we saw in the previous class that a person who has bad things coming to them should be investigating their deeds. That's the first step. Did you investigate your deeds? You know, you have 400 barrels spoiled. Did you think about what you might have done wrong? Amr Lahu, he said back to him. He goes, Chas v'shal, micha shidna beinaychu. Do you guys suspect me of being non-tzaddik, right? You think I'm not on my game? You're suspicious of me that I'm not doing anything, that I did some aveiru that deserved this? Maybe he's implying, of course, this is Yisurim Shalava. This is, you think I did something wrong? What are you suspicious of me? Amrulay, they said back to him, Michoshed HaKotshabrichu Da'avidina Below Dina, are you suspicious of Hashem that he would bring a judgment for no reason? Right? This is like the Ramban again, that even Yisurim Shalava, anything you get is coming. Hashem's not doing something for no reason. Right? Are you suspicious of Hashem? There must be something that you did, buddy. Right? Are you sure? Amrulahu, he said back to them, well, beats me, right? He says, beats me. I don't know what I could have done. If there's anyone here that's heard about me, something that I've done inappropriately, maybe I need some third-party feedback. You know, they have like corporate offices that I need. I don't know what I did wrong, but maybe you guys can tell me. Maybe somebody's heard something about me. Man deshmiel ay milsa lema. Whoever's heard about me something, speak now. Amrulay Hachi Shmielu. This is actually what we did here. We have heard something. This is Hachi Shmielon. This is what we heard about you.
Is this a case where if you ask, saying, tell me the Lashon Hara you heard
this
about.
Isn't Lashon Hara. He's saying, if you know some practical information that I can correct my situation, and Hashem is going to stop exacting retribution for me as a for
but
it,
but
this is
not Lashon Hara. They know that information, and they got it from somebody
yes.
else.
Yes. You understand?
It could have been practical. Maybe they're like, go tell the guy. We know what the issue is. Or it could be also that the people who spread this information were not high standing, as we're going to see in a second. The people who we're discussing here may not be the highest standing individuals.
Arrogant and say, well, I've done. I've perfect.
Well, no. So we already saw on the previous page that step one is possible to clear, right? If a person says, I investigated the particular yesurim, particular suffering I'm experiencing, I can't pinpoint to any particular mitzvah. And I know I'm not learning Torah too little, right? So what is left, right? What's left? He's going through the system. Maybe it's Yisurim Shalava. And they're saying, this is literally sounds like the same machlokas that we said between Rashi and the Ramban. What is Yisurim Shalava? Can it come with a... Without sin, or does it need to come with? So it sounds like he's saying, what do you think that I did already, right? And they're like, well, you must have done something because Hashem's punishing you.
Yeah, so
right?
He's saying, if something's happened to me, it must be from somewhere.
Right. At this point, he's not saying, I'm not makabel, I refuse, it's not possible. He's saying, I don't know, tell me. If you know something, tell me. And we're going to see if he's going to address the issue. He's going to address the issue when they tell him, right? So it's not like he's refusing to accept, to face it. He's just saying, I have no idea. If you know something, tell me.
One of the ways to acquire Torah is to love Musa, right? Love people coming.
That's also true. He's not giving these guys a hard time. No, he's telling them, tell me if you know something. We've seen other people give people way harder of time when they get rebuked than this, right? So he says, if you know something, tell me. Amrulei hachishmilon. This is what we heard about you. You have sharecroppers. You've got all this land and you've got these sharecroppers that are working there. And you don't split with them according to the ratio, the rate of your percentage agreement with the sharecroppers. You don't give them the vines and the branches and all the non-fruit stuff. And you're okay, I see you're splitting the fruit stuff with them like you're supposed to, but you should know the halachas. You also have to give. It's like you're stealing from these guys. You have to give them what's coming to them for their work. All the details of their work, which includes splitting all the vines too. Amr Lahu, he says, this is crazy. He goes, you should know these guys, these workers I have, right? He says, you should see these workers. He's like, are you accusing me of not paying my workers in full?
I think we're starting to get closer to what's going on.
So he says, Amr Lahu, he says to them, Mika Shavikli Midi, if they would have left me anything from the fruits, meaning they didn't, they took all the fruit, right? They took everything in my share, right? If they would have left me anything, Haka. They stole all of my other stuff, right? So I figured I was justified by keeping some of these vines, right? If they would have left me my percentage of fruits, I wouldn't have been so so harsh with them. But it's not like these guys are coming out short. Trust me, they got way more than they were supposed to get. Amrulay, they said back to him, he goes, we found the problem. Hainu damri inshi, that's like the famous expression that people say, basar ganva ganuv, following the thief is another thief. Meaning, if someone steals from you, you think you're entitled to steal back. Now, there is a halakha of avadin jdinil nafshi. If someone steals from you, you're allowed to go take it back, right? But that's not what he's doing here. He's not taking back, he's taking something else, which is really taking like a collateral for the thing. That you're not allowed to ever do, right? You can take back the item that someone stole from you if you're certain that it's yours and let him take me to Beis Din. You're not obligated to take him to Beis Din. You can take back your item if you know it's yours.
Israelis have a saying, "Gonev mikdanat batul."
That's also right, but that's not what the Gemara just said. That's the exact opposite of what the Gemara just said.
Stealing from a thief,
you're exempt. You're exempt from stealing from a thief. That's the Robin Hood argument, right? But I believe the Gemara here concludes that that is actually a thief. Right? So you're saying you stole from this guy. We found the problem here. That must be why all your barrels are spoiling. It's because despite the fact that you've been stolen from, that doesn't give you the right to go steal from them. You can take back what's yours, but you can't go start taking random things. Yeah.
Robin Hood, the curse that they teach that story, where that socialist came from, more damage and everything.
Amar Lahu, Kabil Na'alai, he says, I accept upon myself at this moment the Yahiv Nalei. He says, I'm going to give it to them. Fine, I accept. Right? You win. This month, you've convinced me. Now, what was the conclusion with his financial status after he started paying up? Ika Damri, some people say, Hadr Chala, Mahavi Chamra. So the thing actually started, the barrels improved and they turned back into wine, right? They remedied themselves instantly so that he would know that he found the error. The Ikadamri, Iker Chala, or someone say, it didn't switch back. That would be crazy. But the market value of vinegar went up very high. It reached the value of wine, right? The vinegar market value reached the value of wine. So he actually made his money back either way. Okay, that's that story. Very good story, guys. Next. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Abba bin Yamin said, Al shnei dvarim ha'isi mitzar kol yamai. There's two things that I was like OCD about, meaning I was very stressed about my whole life, right? That stressed me out. All my days. Al tfilasi shetie lifnei mitasi. Okay, we're getting back to our Kriya Shema bedtime, right? That's where we sort of left it. We veered off into this conversation. So we're not finished with the Sisurim stuff, by the way. We're just jumping back into bedtime for a minute. Yeah. But he says, I was very concerned that I should make sure I do Kriya Shema before bed. That was one thing. I guess people are tired. That's why he was all OCD. He's like, maybe I'm worried I'm going to fall asleep. So he had to make sure he stayed awake. Val mitasi, this is a new halacha here, is also very particular. This doesn't sound like, I don't know why you need this every day, but it sounds like you do this once and you're all set. But he said, Val mitasi shtei nesuna ben safal dar. My bed should be angled from north to south. I don't know why this is something that requires constant attention, right? Usually once you set up your bed, you should be okay.
My bed should be north to south.
We're going to explain why, right? But he wants his bed to be angled north to south. Yeah. I'll tell you what the halach is when we finish the discussion.
I can't face the doorway.
And there's also a north-south issue. No. I'll tell you in a second.
The doorway,
doorway,
doorway.
But the doorway, I didn't see it.
So much room, so much face facing a certain direction.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so north-south. Now you can explain. Al tfilasi lufnei mitasi, about this Kriya Shema before bed. My lufnei mitasi, what does it mean? Literally, in the front of my bed. It's not lifnei mitasi, right? Facing my bed or in the front of my bed. What does that mean? Ilema lifnei mitasi mamash. If he means literally that he did it right beside his bed, right? Like physically beside his bed in space. V'hamar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, v'item Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. But we already know Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, and some said it was in the name of Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Menayim l'mispal. Where do we know that a person davening, shloyei davar chotzes beino levein akir, that there should be nothing separating between him and the wall? Right? This is obviously, this is ideal. If you can't do this, this is right in a shul. Not everyone can have a wall seat, right? But if possible, a wall spot is ideal, right? That you should have nothing separating between you and the wall. It improves your kavana. You're not distracted by all these other things. So why would he daven at the foot of his bed, facing his bed? Then there's the whole bed in front of him. There's no wall. And how do we know that a person needs to daven by, or should be davening by a wall if possible? Shnemar, as the verse says, this is by Chizkiyahu. King Chizkiyahu was a very righteous king. But he wasn't having children intentionally, right? He intentionally didn't want to have children. He had some nevuah that his kids were going to be really bad. So he was like, forget this. Oh, yeah. I'm not having kids. And then the Navi came to him. He was like, what are you doing? You're not having kids. There's a mitzvah puravu. And he's like, well, I had this nevuah. He's like, what are you involving yourself in Hashem's cheshbonos for? You do your job and Hashem will do his job and whatever will be, will be. Now, Taka turned out that his kid was terrible. And his kid, he was correct about his premonition. But the Afal Pikin, that was not his responsibility. So Hashem was like threatening him immediate death through this Navi. So he said, okay, time for tshuva. So he started to daven. So Vayasev Chizkiyahu Panav El Akir. So Chizkiyahu immediately turned his face to the wall. Vayispal, and he prayed. So we learned from Chizkiyahu that that's the ideal way to daven, is facing the wall. So Gemara again, this was a question. It says, what did we mean when we said Kriya Shema has to be lifnei mitasi? Mitasa, that has to be before his bed. It's not physically speaking, because that wouldn't allow him to go to the wall, which would have been ideal. So he certainly wasn't OCD about not going to the wall, right? That's for sure not what it means. So lo teima lifnei mitasi. Don't say it means literally, physically in front of my bed. Ela'ema, but rather, samuch l'mitasi. It means in time, close to bedtime. As we said before, it means before bed. Now the next point. Val mitasi shtei nesuna bein safal undara. My bed should be angled north-south. It should be north-south. Dam Rav Chama, because we have a memra, we have a statement from Rav Chama, Reb Chanina, son of Reb Chanina. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Kolanosen mitaso bein safal undarim. Anyone who places their bed north to south, having leibanim zacharim, will have boys. Right, that's a segula for boys. Shneamar utzvoncha temale bitnam. The north will fill their stomachs. Yisbu banim, and they will be satiated with sons.
There's head is north or head is south.
Either way, makes
south.
No difference. The point is that it's not east-west. The point is that it's not east-west. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, "Af ein ishto mapeles nefalim." Another, this one may be more significant, a woman will be unlikely to miscarry, right, if she's if she was conceived with the bed from north to south. Ksiv hacha, how do we know that? Because the verse says, "Utzfoncha temolid bitnam," the north will fill up their stomachs. Ksiv hasam, but it also says elsewhere, "Vayimalu yameya laledes." This is by Rivka when she had twins, Yaakov and Esav. Right, says her days of her term were filled. Right, the days of her pregnancy completed. Vehine tumim bivitna, and behold, there were twins in her stomach. So you see that when it says that word stomach, it also says the word completion of term. And in the previous verse, it says north will fill the stomach, right? So north fills the stomach, and stomach leads to fulfillment of term. So you see from there that north south gives you fulfillment of term and no miscarriages.
Give you an Esav too,
huh?
This is Rivka.
Yeah. So Yaakov and Esav.
Yeah, so
I'll
give you an Esav too.
Yeah. Kind of,
but that's not the message in that pasuk. I mean, the pasuk that mentions the word stomach, which is the link we're trying to bring here. Only mentions that there was a complete term, right? So the element of emphasis here is complete term. There's nothing to do with it. It doesn't mention Esav here. Although it does allude to him with the twins. Now, halacha lemaisa here, what's the story with this bed story? So the Shulchan Aruch brings down this halacha that you should have your bed from north to south. However, he quotes a Zohar, which says the exact opposite, that you should specifically have your bed from east to west. Yeah, right? Yeah, so the Kabbalah seems to... Now, the Mishnah Berurah here uses this as an opportunity to teach a very important lesson of what do you do when the Gemara conflicts with the Kabbalah? When we have Talmud conflicting with Kabbalah, so the Halacha never follows the Kabbalah. The Halacha always follows the Talmud.
Yeah. Is this like a Shammai Hillel thing? That
no.
The Kabbalah will be true?
No. This is a different thing. This is Nigla Nister, things that are relevant for applying physically in the reality here, and things that are true about this world and could be applied into this world, but cannot supersede the visible reality that we have. Right? So the halacha always follows Talmud over Zohar when they're conflicting. That being said, if people can try to do both, they try, but it's very impossible to do both in this particular way. That being said, the Vilna Gaon over there says that, you're misreading the Zohar, and I know it makes it say, if you read it simply, it sounds like east to west, but he doesn't mean that. He also means north-south, and there's really no debate, and north-south is the correct answer. But the reason for this is, the Mishnah Berurah explains, the commentaries explain, is because the Shechina is usually addressed facing east or west, depending on which side of Jerusalem you're on here, right, if you're east or west. But east or west is the direction you face when you daven, and therefore it is in your consciousness that that is facing towards Hashem. Now, it's true, your relationship's supposed to be together with Hashem, right? There's three partners in the relationship, but that's a little bit too much. It's best to face north-south when you're together. So they say maybe Bachrim don't have to worry about this, right? Single people don't have to worry about this, specifically for people who are engaging in relations. One more point about this is that if it's physically not practical to have your bed facing this way in the room, then you don't have to be machmir about this either, right? That if it's, that the
I
room
have only girls, now you tell me. It's always been east to west.
Too late. I don't know.
Yeah,
there you go.
Works.
There you go.
Okay. Where were you?
It's actually very.
Years ago.
It is actually very, very funny that I moved in between my two boys and my two girls.
Yeah.
And in my first house, it was north south. In the first place I lived was north south, and I had two boys, and then I literally moved.
Way.
It literally is exact. And then we switched them because for the dynamics of the room, we had to switch it for east west, and we had two girls. But it's anecdotal evidence. I'm sure you can find evidence not like this.
It has to be.
Right. But the point is here is that there's a segula, at least. There's
north, north south, and then we went with me.
Everyone thinks about this, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, this is creepy."
It is.
You have to think about it. It's creepy when you think about it. I had two boys in my first house that we switched, and now we have two girls.
My boy was born before I moved.
Okay, so a little anecdotal evidence here that this Gemara is
a good sound.
See, I'm saying everybody here seems to say that it's the same thing, but
this is terrible.
Well, you had east west, literally. There you go. See, I tell you, that's very good. Okay, so now you can have good stories to talk. your wives away.
Yeah.
I knew the halakha and I still switched it when I switched and then I had two girls, okay? Tanya, moving on, guys. Okay, so that practically speaking, if you can't do this, there's no chiyuv to do it. Meaning, if your room doesn't accommodate it, you don't have to make yourself nuts about this. Particularly, Shalom Bayis will supersede this concern.
Yeah, it makes sense because it wasn't Shalom Bayis, you would have to worry about it.
Yes, exactly. Moving on, guys. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Abba bin Yamin Omer, more from Abba bin Yamin, right? So if you liked what he did, this one was interesting, keeping going with him. Shnayim Shenichnasu Lispa, this is a famous one. I think you guys were doing this in Mishnah Berurah at nighttime recently. If two guys enter to daven, V'kadam Echad Mehem Lispa, and one guy's finished davening first, right? So you have to wait for the other guy. You guys are just doing this. Now I thought I overheard you in Mishnah Berurah.
No, actually, we just finished it.
Right. So, and one guy has finished davening first. V'lo Himtin Es Chavero, he didn't wait for his friend, V'yatza, and he just took off, right? Torfen lo tefilas b'fanam. So they rip up his tefillah in front of him. Meaning, like, basically Hashem's like ripping up this guy who left tefillah in front of him because he didn't wait for his buddy. Shenemar, torif nafsho biapo, halaman chotazoi varetz. It's going to like rip up your soul with anger because you left the land. Now this is not exactly an allusion to prayer. Right? The shot there is talking about an Eov. Right, is Eov's getting punished there for some leaving of the land, but the Gemara is darshaning to mean that if you leave a place of davening and you leave somebody in solitude there, where they're got their eyes closed, whatever, right? But one person by themselves is in much more danger. Even if two people are davening and they're not paying attention, they're in much safer conditions that other people see. There's multiple people there.
So you shouldn't be in a Beis HaMikdash by yourself. You shouldn't be davening by yourself.
If you can avoid, a Beis Medrash, meaning if you're in your room, in your house, or whatever, there's no problem. But the truth is there's no problem in a Beis Medrash either. The point is if you're willing to do it, that's fine. But if you started davening with somebody else and he takes off on you in the middle, right, and then you think you're safe because there's somebody else there, that is not good, right, because it's probably going to distract that person's end of their prayer.
Rabbi, did I hear once that if you're in a Beis HaMikdash and two people are learning separately, it's better for them to be learning together than separately?
It's always true. Yeah. It's always better for people to learn together. It's not really practical for them to learn together for whatever reason. One guy has something he needs to accomplish and the other guy maybe is not able or the other guy, whatever it is, right? Then there's exceptions, but obviously it's better that people should learn together. It's always better. You make bad decisions when you learn by yourself. You usually come to imperfect conclusions, and you just sometimes it's not even that bad. You just need someone to speak it out to. You just speak out, and you realize yourself that you're making a mistake.
Yeah. Sorry, it's a little off topic. I was interested. Yeah.
The oid, the loyoid, and not.
Where you don't want to leave the guy alone.
Yes, it's exactly what we said. Don't leave the guy alone.
It's like alone in the shul.
That's right.
So it's where the last two people.
That's right. And what are we really worried about here? Maybe some.
Zikin.
Yes. What could be right? Back to the demons.
Back to the demons.
We're gonna get now. There's a lot more coming up about demons, guys. The next page is also
drush.
Anywhere they could be if you're by yourself. They come. They like. We said they like to find you when you're alone.
Yeah, ruins are no good anywhere alone.
The Lo'o, not only this, El Shagorim L'Shechina should be stalking me strong. Not only is your prayer going to be ripped up if you abandon this guy, but you cause the divine presence to depart from the Jewish people. Shenemar, Vayatik Tzur Mimakomo, he has dislodged the rock from its place. Vein Tzur El HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the rock is always an allusion to Hashem. Shenemar, Tzur Yalatcha Tishi. Okay, this is an allusion that Hashem is a rock. But if you wait for the guy, okay, so it's like from one extreme to the other. If you leave him, this is like a disaster. But if you wait for the guy, even though you were finished, maskara, what's your reward? Turning on to Daf Vav. Rav Yosi b'Reb Chanina. Rav Yosi son of Reb Chanina said, Zoyche lebrachos halalu. You are meritorious to the following brachos. Shemar, as the puzzle says, Luik shavtel mitzvosai. If only you'd listen to my mitzvos, v'yu kenar shleimecha, it'd be like a flowing river of peace. And your righteousness will be like the waves of the ocean, and your children will be like the sand, and so too will be the future descendants of your offspring even. So lots of brachas for waiting around for this guy in the shul. Do not abandon him. And now Abba Binyamin continues with part three, which is the Mezikin. Oh, let's just start, because this is so interesting. Let's start it. Tanya, Abba Binyamin Omer. Abba Binyamin says, we have plenty of time left. If Hashem would have only granted the eye the ability to see what? all the demons that are around, right? All these maziki that are around. But only in kol birya yechol lamod mipnei maziki. No creature would be able to stand with the knowledge of what's going on around them. It would make you a little nuts. Right, which now we're going to lead into the story of people that go nuts by experiencing mazikin.
So your brain filters it out. That's what the brain is, the filter. Filters out.
No, you can't see them.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's no free will. There,
yeah, Hashem is not granting you the ability to see them.
No, you can't see them, otherwise there's no free will. It's simple. It's like this is why we don't see God everywhere, otherwise there's no free will. You wouldn't do anything if they were like creatures in every Avera.
It's the brain filtering,
Hashem is there. I don't know what's filtering. There's some filter.
The brain's not.
Something
brain's
is happening. Maybe there's no, they're not reflecting light properly. Amar Abai says, Inu Nefishi Minan, they say, they're a lot more than us. Right? There's a lot more of them than us. V'kai me'alan, ki kisla l'ugia. Yeah, like a kisla l'ugia is a row of dug ditches that you dig around the, I think this is like irrigation canals. Is that how they translate it? It's like you have a water reservoir in your vineyard, and you want to use that, so you have like these little ditches you make from this one ditch that stores the water, and you drag the water out.
But aren't mounds around the ditch, not the ditch around the mounds? You mean you've got the ditch, the mounds are around the ditch, not the other way around.
She says it's a
line,
a hole around the grapevine.
Yeah. Shurz Chafira. It's a ditch that's
you bring water from it to
the right. This is like some irrigation business going on here.
Farming ditch.
And what does this have to do with? What does this have to do with what we were just talking about?
Yeah, good question.
How demons work?
No, it's just a given. Source. You tell them, shall not in the face.
So, ditch around.
I think it means
the
like.
The order is backwards to me.
Huh?
The order is backwards.
Why?
Mounds are around the ditch. Even in irrigation, you have these little things, you have mounds around the ditch.
I think the mounds are the mounds of.
There it is. What am I missing? What else are the mounds? The mounds have to come from the hole.
You make the mound under the vines. You make the mound under the vines.
Yeah,
like, and then you have these ditches that go around those mounds. I mean, the mounds doesn't mean like, I think it just means like the pile that aren't ditched.
Maybe they mean they're surrounded.
It grows like this.
Yeah.
And you build that ditch, and the mounds are surround the ditch.
I mean, they're in between the ditches.
But yeah, I guess you could say the ditches around the mound.
I guess you could say it either way. What's the bottom line here? What does this have to do with
Yeah.
What is that? How is that a reference to a lot of them? I'm not even getting this. I lost my train of thought here.
Yeah, sorry.
It means that they're surrounded. I think that's the point. Is that just like the mound is surrounded by all these ditches, so too they are surrounded by all these dunes. Okay. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Kol chad v'chad minan, alpha, every one of us has alpha mismale, has 1,000 of them on his left, v'rivavasa mimine, and 10,000 on his right. Okay, there's a lot of them. Amar Rava. Let's stop here, guys. We'll stop here.